Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Over the summer, there have been gigantic changes in college sports. The biggest of them is the introduction of NIL, which stands for Name, Image, and Likeness. Yes, college athletes for the first time will be able to make money based off of their name, image, and likeness, reversing decades of rules set by the NCAA, the governing body of college sports. Not only are college athletes set up to get paid, but there have been major realignments in college football, to be specific. The University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma have moved from the Big 12 Conference to the Southeastern Conference. Such a move could affect the Mountain West Conference, where the New Mexico Lobos play. New Mexico State football is currently not a member of a conference, electing to play an independent schedule. Other athletic programs, such as basketball and baseball, play for the Western Athletic Conference, or the WAC. With all of these changes come even more questions. Will UNM have to find a new conference if the Mountain West disbands? What are the possibilities of UNM and New Mexico State University being in the same conference? How will both universities go about educating and guiding their players who will be offered income opportunities through sponsorship deals? Although the state has opened up, the pandemic is not over. How will both schools create COVID-safe protocols so that fans can come and cheer in person? And we want to hear from you. Did you, a family or a friend, play college sports? What stories, good or bad, would you like to share? What type of effect do you think the new rules, NIL, and conference realignment have on our state universities? You can email us at letstalk@kunm.org or call in live 505-277-5866. That's 505-277-5866. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at KUNM News. It's hashtag letstalknm. As a matter of fact, we have something from Clifton from Twitter. That UNM ought to cancel the football program, one of the most egregious misuses of precious resources. He says, let's turn that stadium into a soccer pitch and see if UNM can't win and spend the rest of the massive savings on improving student experiences. To chime in on Twitter, just go to @KUNM News, hit us up, hashtag Let's Talk NM. My first guest is Michael Whitman, a writer who covers the Mountain West Conference online for SB Nation. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So Texas and Oklahoma turned the college football world upside down by switching from the Big 12 to the SEC. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I think just like most people, usually that stuff leaks on Twitter, and they were managed to keep it quiet. So I think every offseason we have rumors about realignment, and now we're actually going to be living one for the next maybe a year or two.
Yeah. Can you break down why this is such a big deal?
Yeah, it's a huge deal because it's shaking the Power Five landscape, and there's a potential to trickle down. Usually conferences are scrambling now, it's all about survival of the fittest, and now one of the so-called Power Fives is kind of a blood in the water, and everybody's going to try and figure out what's best for them.
And the Power Five conference, just for our listeners, NCAA football is split up into five major conferences, which include the Pac-12, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Big 10. Those are the major conferences, but schools such like UNM, the University of New Mexico, play in the Mountain West Conference, which is more of a group of five, a lower tier of competition. In terms of how this affects the Mountain West Conference, do you think that this mega merger puts the Mountain West Conference in jeopardy?
I wouldn't say jeopardy. I mean, again, anything's possible. I think the more likely scenario is the Mountain West isn't directly affected. And by affected, I mean teams coming or going. I think we're going to see more either Big 12 either staying put at 8 teams or some kind of, you know, there's rumors of mergers with the Pac-12, or probably the most likely scenario would be either taking teams from the American or the American taking teams from the Big 12. But yeah, I see the Mountain West trying their best and pretty much looking the same in a year or two.
Keeping the same. But if the Mountain West were to kind of have potential changes, can you walk us through some of the teams that could be potential targets for other conferences, since, you know, some of these programs have a higher profile, like a San Diego State or a Boise State?
Exactly. And those are the two teams that jump to mind for me. I think in terms of on-the-field talent, those would be the two most attractive offers. Now, if we're looking at the Big 12 or even the American, those would be the two worst fits geographically. you know, imagine Idaho playing schools in Florida in a conference game, or California having to travel to West Virginia or the Carolinas or something like that. If we're looking at geographical fit, it sounds like Colorado State was rumored to be one of the finalists for Big 12 when they were thinking about expanding a few years ago. That's a better geographical fit. UNLV is a trendy name, even though their program isn't really on the rise right now, but Vegas, the area, is on the rise. You're seeing pro sports teams coming to Vegas now. You're seeing the new stadium that's super attractive. So those would be teams that I think get a look. They may not be the most attractive teams on the field, but I think other things, they kind of have a better fit.
Now, how does this affect the television contract deal that the Mountain West has? A lot of these conferences create contract deals with ESPN and other cable sports providers that really provide a lot of revenue for the conference that gets split up between the teams. Do you see a merger like this affecting the SEC and the college football landscape? Do you see that as something detrimental potentially to the Mountain West and therefore the University of New Mexico?
Great question. I think the contract is a sticking point, and you're seeing that with the Texas-Oklahoma SEC merger right now, right? Nothing can happen for a few years till the Big 12's media deal expires. So now it's going to be a really awkward situation with them playing and dealing with teams that they don't like for the next 3 or 4 years. The Mountain West recently signed their deal last year. So if there was any expansion, it would either have to wait until that deal expires, which I think is 5 or 6 years, or it would be a very messy divorce trying to figure out how much money is owed. And the Mountain West certainly is not going to want to lose any teams, number one, and they certainly don't want to lose any teams during the middle of a media deal, because that would greatly affect the great pay bump that they got last year in their new media rights deal.
So it all comes down to money. Speaking of money, we've got NIL, name, image, and likeness. College athletes are finally able to make some money off of their name, image, and likeness. When you heard that news, what was your reaction?
It was great. I think it was a long time coming. I actually wrote an article about this when the NIL was announced, or when it was rumored to be announced back in the end of spring, that there's going to be flaws, right? There's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. There's probably going to be some under-the-table business going still. You're seeing SEC players probably making upwards of $1 million. But for so long, the weaknesses or the errors kind of erred on the side of the teams and the coaches, and now it can err on the side of the players, which I think if you're going to have an imperfect system, it might as well benefit the players more. And I think it really benefits the Mountain West. I think it'll help them in terms of recruiting, right? Would you rather be, if you're a high 3-star or 4-star recruit, would you rather go be a star at the Mountain West? Or would you rather be kind of just another player in the mix at an Alabama or a Georgia or even a Michigan State or an Indiana? So I think when you look at teams like New Mexico, teams like Boise State, Hawaii, they're kind of the only game in town as far as the state goes. They can get the big sponsorships or the big commercial deals or whatever if those things are open to them. So I think it really helps the conference.
What do you think about the under-the-table deals that were famous in college sports? You know, a star athlete, a star football player, basketball player gets a handshake from one of the school's boosters and it happens to be $500 or $1,000 in there, or they happen to work for the popular car dealership, not really clocking any hours, but they're driving a new car. Do you think that this NIL allowance eliminates those type of deals?
I don't know if I go as far as say eliminate, but I think it greatly reduces the need for that, right? If you can go to a car dealership and film a commercial and maybe sign some autographs and make money, you don't need the under the table car deal. You don't need getting paid for not working any hours because you're doing it, right? I think it should eliminate a lot of that. Now, I'm not going to be naive. Is that stuff still going to happen? I'm sure. I didn't necessarily agree with it beforehand, but the older I got, the more I understood why it was occurring, right? You're giving up 90% of your week to a sport that you love, but you still need to eat, you still need to make money, or there's different financial situations going on. So I'm glad that we have a legal way for that to happen now for athletes.
Yes, that is Michael Whitman, who covers sports for the Mountain West Conference online for SB Nation. Michael, thank you so much for joining me. Want to take this to listener questions. Do you think that student athletes should be allowed to make money based off of their name, image, or likeness? Why or why not? Call us at 505-277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org to tell us your thoughts. I'd like to move on to my next guest, who is another writer. His name is Daniel Libet. He writes, a reporter who writes for Sportico. He's also the creator of the New Mexico Fishbowl, an independent blog that investigated the athletic department at the University of New Mexico, and he currently has three pending lawsuits against UNM or its affiliated organizations. Daniel, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. Thanks for being with me.
Happy to be here.
So can you walk through a brief history of the financial instability of the UNM athletic department?
It's difficult to do that in a brief history, but yeah. I think we're still living through that right now. But you could probably put a pin about 10 or 15 years ago when former athletic director Paul Krebs came aboard, and around the time, I think this was more recently, that the pit was renovated, the $60 million pit renovation. This doesn't all necessarily redound to UNM's financial detriment, but we saw a sort of irrational exuberance of money being thrown towards Lobo sports with the idea that UNM was on the precipice of some sort of national presence in college athletics. And there were some good hires, there were some bad hires in these so-called revenue sports, particularly for UNM men's basketball. And then there was just this been period, really since the departure of Steve Alford, where there's not been a lot of winning, certainly not in men's basketball. And there's been, you know, only a few bowl seasons or over 500 seasons in football. And it's been prolonged, and the fans have dwindled. The money has dwindled all the while. The university itself has been under financial stress, just because of the nature of the economy in New Mexico and how the university receives funds. And, you know, on top of all that, it has seemed to be a litany of scandals, either ones involving finances, the treatment of athletes, the relationship between politicians and athletics, and so forth. And, I mean, this was sort of the reason why my blog, which was supposed to be a very short-lived project, turned into something that I spent more than 2 years on, because it just was one thing after another. And, you know, so I haven't put my primary focus on UNM over the last couple of years. I've moved on to sort of look at college sports nationally. But, you know, many of the dynamics are still in play in terms of this is just fundamentally struggling athletic department in a university without a ton of resources that hasn't won a lot in a number of years.
We have about one minute before we get to break, but quickly, can you just give us a little bit of clarification on what these lawsuits are about?
Yeah, well, I've sued UNM more than just three times, but these are the ones that are pending. I sued my first lawsuit against the University of New Mexico was against the UNM Foundation, the organization that behaves or pretends to be a separate entity holding the donations given to UNM. I sued them for public records. All these lawsuits are over public records. And I won at the lower court level, and UNM subsequently appealed, so that case is on appeal. I filed a similar lawsuit against the UNM Lobo Club.
Let me pause you right there, Daniel. We need to go to a quick break. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Khalil Akelona. We're talking about the changes in college sports, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 505-277-5866. That's 505-277-5866. We'll be back in a moment.
Support comes from REDW, an Albuquerque CPA and advisory firm founded in 1953 by New Mexicans for New Mexican businesses and individuals. Complete details about advisory and regulatory services at REDW.com.
Support comes from Il Vicino Restaurants in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, open for indoor and patio dining, Sunday through Thursday, 11 till 9, Fridays and Saturdays, 11 till 10. Dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service available. IlVicino.com.
Last year, a new cello concerto by Ellen Tafe Zwillick had its world premiere. She's since reimagined that piece for a smaller ensemble. And coming up, we'll hear the cello concerto for chamber ensemble by Ellen Tafe Zwillick on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
And we are back here at Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm currently on the line with Daniel Libet, a reporter who writes for Sportico. Now, Daniel, you were breaking down some of the lawsuits you have against UNM or its affiliated organizations. Can you continue, please?
Certainly. So, yes, I mentioned the UNM Foundation, UNM Lobo Club lawsuits. The one I filed most recently was against the university to try to find records exchanged, communications exchanged between the university's legal counsel and the attorney for former football coach Bob Davey in the period that led up to Davey's firing or buyout. There was a lot of questions about why Davey wasn't fired beforehand after he was found to have violated school policy in his treatment of athletes. There was a question of why the university paid out and basically bought him out of the entirety of his contract as opposed to just firing him for cause. And so I was attempting to find out if in those communications, more information could be learned, and the university denied that records request in a way that they had not previously denied, or on grounds that they had not previously denied records requests. And so that's my most recent lawsuit against them.
Okay, yes. And you mentioned the buyout for Coach Bob Davey. He got $825,000 buyout in his contract. But there's also some other questionable contract hires. Mike Loxley, the former UNM coach before Bob Davey for football, $1 million buyout. Craig Neal, $1 million buyout. And most recently, we had Paul Weir, who has $490,000 owed that UNM athletic director Eddie Nunez said will be paid entirely by private funds. Now, we had a listener hit us up on Twitter asking about canceling the football program and all of it, how desirable that is. Is that something that's tenable? Because academics at UNM often suggest that we feel that we should cut out these programs and really invest this money into academic programs. How do you feel about that?
No, UNM is not going to ever willingly cancel its own football program. I mean, over the course of time, programs like UNM may be forced to drop their football programs down, but they're not going to do this voluntarily when they're not made to. That's just not what we find in higher education or in Division I college athletics. And, you know, while I did a lot of work to sort of show this, while there's certainly a lot of waste that goes into UNM athletics and specifically the football program, this is not a good way of spending money just to advertise the school. It certainly hasn't been over the last number of years. It's not a one-to-one. It's not that if you don't have football, you're going to plow that money into your English department or your political science department. Mm-hmm. There's money that comes into football specifically just because it's football specifically because it's athletics. It's money that comes from the NCAA or from private donors. So I take the point. To elaborate on that, there's a larger point about what any of this has to do with higher education. And I don't think that point has ever been properly addressed in this country or at the level of New Mexico. But no, I think that's a fantasy to expect that a school like UNM is just going to throw in the towel on their football program. And clearly, look, if there was ever a reason to do it, they would have. There's been many years of no fans showing up, little money coming in, little victory, few victories on the field, and we've seen never any motivation to walk that line.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. Now, in terms of NIL, name, image, and likeness, players making money, there's been national news about Quinn Ewers. He's a high school senior in Texas, number one football recruit. He's skipping his senior year to enroll into Ohio State University to play for the Buckeyes, where he will become eligible for sponsorship deals. So far in the country, only California can high school athletes make money off of their name, image, and likeness. What type of effects do you see this having on college sports when high school athletes are graduating early to enroll in college to take advantage of the new NIL and potential money?
I think that might just be a fleeting thing, because as you know, that there's one state that has sort of extended legally publicity rights or rights of publicity to athletes that are younger than college students. But I think, you know, the laws, the state laws will catch up in recognition of some of the, you know, the example you just made, and there'll be other examples like that. I think, you know, to me, the story of NIL right now at the onset of this upcoming academic year is whether or not NIL is the last of it, whether or not this is just a means to an ultimate end of just a free open market for college athletes. Because remember, the NIL rights granted to them are still rather restrictive, at least they are on paper. Athletes cannot receive money because by boosters in order to induce them to go to certain schools. Athletes can't certainly be paid by schools. This is maybe not a legally or ethically sustainable position to continue to circumscribe the financial rights of athletes when coaches and administrators are allowed to receive these sorts of inducements and to receive these sorts of payments. And so, you know, I think a lot of this is going to have to do with where the public polling is on this, and where the political interest remains or doesn't remain on this, as to whether or not, you know, there's going to be momentum to push this to truly a free open market, the possibility eventually one day that athletes could be employees of the universities that they play for, that athletes could unionize as employees. And I know those in the athlete rights movement want this. They see NIL as just an iterative first step in a process of just opening up the market for college athletes without any other restrictions.
That is Daniel Libet, a reporter for Sportico. You mentioned the public. Let's go to the public. We have a caller. We've got Billy Brown from Albuquerque. Billy, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico.
Yes, sir. Hi, I'm here.
Yes, you are. How's it going?
Very good. I'm a faculty member at UNM, actually a part-time faculty member. And I heard that some $12 million, or a fairly large amount of money that came from the federal government for COVID relief, has found its way to the athletic department. Do you know anything about this, whether it's true?
I currently don't. Daniel?
Yeah, I actually have been reporting on a story like this, and part of my reporting was predicated on that. Yeah, so the federal government began distributing to universities across the country in the wake of the pandemic relief dollars, and gave universities certain flexibilities about how that money could be spent. Some of it had to be spent directly on students or for student relief. And then there was an institutional component. And I've actually been researching the amounts of money that various Division I universities across the country have allocated towards athletics, and I'm going to write a story about this probably in the coming week or two. But yeah, that was correct. I think it was first reported by the Albuquerque Journal that about $12 million and change of the university's HEERF, their COVID relief funds, was given to the athletics department to cover things that related specifically to new expenses owing to the pandemic, PPE, COVID testing, quarantining for athletes that might have fallen ill. But the large bulk of this was to cover up revenue shortfalls. And it was a staggering amount. Now, UNM will say that many other universities are effectively doing the same thing, but just not being transparent about it. They're getting, you know, tens of millions of dollars in COVID relief fund, and then their main campus is giving, a $10 million loan, a $20 million loan to athletics, but they're calling it by a different name, even though it's all the same money going into the same pot, more or less. But yeah, I mean, UNM is definitely up there in terms of universities that have allocated, you know, that much money towards athletics, that much COVID relief money towards athletics.
We will see the result of that. I want to thank you very much for joining me. He is Daniel Libet, a reporter who writes for Sportico, also the creator of the New Mexico Fishbowl, an independent blog that investigated the athletic department at the University of New Mexico. Thank you also to Billy Brown for calling in with your comments. If you want to follow Billy's footsteps, just give us a call at 277-5866. That's 505-277-5866. Or email us at letstalk@kunm.org. Joining me now is Kenny Thomas. He is a former All-American basketball player for the UNM Lobos, who also played 11 years in the NBA. He and Brian Urlacher are arguably the most famous University of New Mexico athletes in the world. Kenny, thanks for joining me.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, no complaints.
Excellent.
Up bright and early.
That's fantastic. Thanks for getting up early to join us. I have a question for you. So when you heard that college athletes are now allowed to get paid for their name, image, and likeness, what was your reaction?
Jealous to a certain extent, because back when I was playing, Jesus, if this would have been put in place, I probably would have skipped the NBA. I probably would have had a lot of money already. Being sarcastic, but it's really nice from the standpoint of these kids in the state of New Mexico, high school and at the collegiate level, they have the opportunity to make money. Back when I was in school, we only got like $400 and something a month. And then I had to figure it out from the standpoint of getting like Pell Grant and some other resources. But now these kids have an opportunity to make money while they're playing. I think that's awesome because the university makes so much money off of these kids. I think these kids should have an opportunity to be able to pull in more money, especially during college.
Yeah, so you played in an era where it was an NCAA violation for a fan to even buy you lunch. You know, if I saw you and said, Kenny, great game, you had a triple-double, fantastic, thank you for beating Boise State, and bought you lunch as a result of my appreciation, you suddenly would have lost your eligibility and the opportunity to play. Did you have any moments in your college career where you had to turn down gifts or money because it would have been a violation of the rules at the time?
Oh, yeah. I didn't really have a choice. And it was one of those things to where you have to adjust from the standpoint of like, okay, somebody wants to give you something for free. Why not? You know what I mean? You're a college kid barely making it. And then you want to say yes, but no. It was like it was one of those things to where that wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really, really, really proud of the fact that how the state New Mexico guy is one of the first ones to get it done.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for me to bring in my resources as far as my agent and my business attorney, who's Ken Harris, who is the same business attorney as Magic Johnson, who's my mentor. And there's a lot of resources that I can bring into this market, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Now, what about the downside of having a young person with too much money? I mean, do you worry that some of these young athletes might not be able to handle the fame, the pressure, and the money at such an early age? If you have an All-American coming at 18, 19, 20 years old, do you worry about all of this attention and money that's going to be thrown at them?
I mean, they're getting attention already. They're playing for one of the greatest universities. And it's you're already in the spotlight from the standpoint of sports, because New Mexico, that's all they bleed is UNM sports. And I think it's just to the point to where these kids now, they just need to be able to have the right opportunity. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I with my agency that I'm starting here in the state of New Mexico for name, image, and likeness to help these kids and try and get the different businesses in the state involved, which I've already started talking to some businesses around the city, and they're totally interested. And I think the other part is going to be from the standpoint of adding a financial piece to where I have some things in place that could come in and support the kids from the standpoint of setting up a trust fund for them to where the money is there and it's making money while they're in college, and then they get a monthly stipend type thing. Hmm. That's the other component that I'm looking to add, because playing in the NBA, it's kind of the same thing. And it's me trying to help these kids from the standpoint of having the knowledge of what it would be like if they have an opportunity to go play after they leave the university in New Mexico in whatever sport it may be. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to sign up all UNM athletes from that standpoint to where, say for instance, I was able to get the whole basketball team. Like, the resources I have, I would be able to have something consistent for them to where it's a business, but at the same time, that business can come in and help support the whole athletic program from the standpoint of helping these kids. I've talked to some swimmers. I've talked to some of the basketball players, boys and girls, some of the golfers. It's just me being a resource to be able to help these kids. And that's what I'm going to do. This is my foundation, the state of New Mexico. And it's one of those things. I feel like if I would be doing a disservice if I wasn't there to support and help these kids. Of course, I would be a mentor from that perspective to be able to help these kids. And at the same time, I am a member of the World Sports Alumni Association, to where there's 300-plus athletes that are current players from MLB all the way up to football. Mm-hmm. I'm creating a partnership with them to actually come in and help support the kids. If it's football, if it's golf, whatever that may be, from a mentor perspective.
Yeah, I have it. I got a little bit question for you. I've got about 2 minutes before I got to go to a break. But, you know, you were in the NBA. You played 11 seasons in the NBA. Suddenly you have this contract. You're making millions of dollars. People know you. They're coming at you, asking you about business deals. I'm sure you had a lot of people, family members, strangers, come to you with ideas to take some of these millions that you're making for investment opportunities. This is something that could potentially happen to a star basketball player, football player, women's soccer player at UNM. What words of advice or warnings do you have for a young athlete who are drawing attention from agents and the like about what they should be wary of and where they should who they should trust?
This is where webinars and me going to talk to the kids, like bringing awareness to these different things you just said, is going to be key. It's not like I would be signing up these kids and the next thing you know, I'm just not there to help support them, because some of these kids in UNM are going to get a chance to go overseas and play with whatever sport that they're a part of at UNM. It's getting them ready from the standpoint of different things, like you said, that could happen with different people coming out of the woodworks, because it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I get you. I want to thank you very much for taking time to speak with us. That is Kenny Thomas, former All-American basketball player for the UNM Lobos, also an 11-year veteran of the NBA. We are about to go to a quick break. You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Khalil Lake Alona. What are we discussing today? Well, we're talking about the changes in college sports and how it affects our local universities. We want to hear your thoughts. Call us at 277-586-6505. 277-586-6. You can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Let's Talk New Mexico, or email us at Let's letstalk@kunm.org.
It's been 6 years since the toxic sludge from the Gold King mine site spilled into the rivers that many Native people rely on. The visible signs of contamination may be gone, but how safe are the waters now? We'll recall the spill and the continuing efforts to monitor its impacts. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What about a Subaru legacy? Donate your Subaru to KUNM and gift your community with the legacy of great radio. We'll tow it from your home, office, or repair shop. Plus, you get a tax receipt and a KUNM membership. We accept all makes of cars and trucks. To find out if your car qualifies, call 888-KUNM-CAR today. That's 888-586-6227.
We are back here at Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Khalil Akalona. We are talking about changes in college athletics and how they affect our local universities. What better way to get in information about how it affects our local universities by talking to two of the athletic directors. Here from with me now is Mario Mosia. He is the athletic director at New Mexico State University. And we also have on the line Eddie Nunez, the athletic director of the University of New Mexico. Mario, Eddie, thanks for being with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. So, you know, Mario, let me ask you, New Mexico State plays an independent football schedule. When you heard the big news that Texas and Oklahoma were leaving the Big 12, what did you think?
Well, you know, obviously we are in the Western Athletic Conference for every sport but football, and remaining FBS and remaining in a and getting in an FBS conference still is one of our major goals. So any movement, amongst the FBS group causes us to take a thought. Hey, you know what? What type of cascading can happen down the road? You know, we saw when there was a first, several years ago when there was some movement in the marketplace, obviously there was teams being picked up by conferences, teams going to different leagues. So anything like that certainly piques our interest because it could give us an opportunity to get in that FBS conference, wherever that is, whoever that is. And that's something that's very interesting to us.
Eddie, so let me ask the same question to you. When you're in charge of UNM athletics, how do you see this move of Texas and Oklahoma affecting the Lobos and the Mountain West Conference?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we need to consider when you look at what that one move or those two moves, however you want to call it, how it affected our whole industry. You know, it's what we've all discussed since day one is the ability to understand that college athletics is ever changing. It changes every day around us. And, you know, a week or two ago, we're talking about NIL. We're still talking about NIL, don't get me wrong, but it became the hot topic to a side topic just because of the decision from Texas and Oklahoma to look at other opportunities. So for us, you know, we just got to be patient, see what happens, continue to make sure we take care of business, very much like Mario. I mean, we control our own destiny. I think there's other things that fall into us, but for us to have an opportunity to even be in the consideration if we're ever, to strengthen our opportunities or just continue with where we are, it's up to us. We have to continue to perform well. We need to continue to show that we're doing our due diligence. So for me, it's continuing to watch the landscape, see how things transpire, see what schools are potentially talking about other opportunities. But to make sure that the Mountain West Conference remains strong, remains a player in not just our region nationally, but then also if things transpire in different ways, we all have to be, every school, this is not just New Mexico, New Mexico State, this is every school has to be smart about looking at what other opportunities continue to make them better. So for us, we're going to continue to do what we have to do here, control what we control, and hopefully put ourselves in a position to continue to be successful athletically and academically.
Have you spoken to your contemporaries in the Mountain West Conference about any possible moves? And if so, what was the tone of those conversations?
No, we had a very, very kind of 30,000 level conversation about, look, this is what's happening in the landscape. What do we do as a conference? And I think our commissioner came out and stated this recently, where we were very proactive from the standpoint of saying, look, we have to continue to see what's in the best interest of our conference. If we're going to get better as a conference, if we can financially get better, if we can add benefit to everybody as far as what potential team could come in or go out or whatever it is, we want to be on the positive side here and looking what opportunities present are out there, I guess, is the best way to put it. So for us, we've looked at it. We're looking, we're talking, we're listening. But it's, you know, we're going to try to remain strong. We're going to try to see what continues to make the Mountain West what it is. And, you know, let the commissioner and the conference office do their job and hopefully put us in a really good opportunity for the future.
Mario, if the Mountain West Conference comes calling, would you and New Mexico State University take a listen?
Well, you know, I think if you polled our fan base, 99 out of 100 would say that would be their ultimate destination. Obviously, there's a lot of big-time schools in that league and schools that our fan base is familiar with in the West. So, you know, it is certainly, you know, when you're out in the West, you know, you don't have a whole lot of schools in your footprint like you do in the Midwest or back East. So I think that still remains, you know, the pinnacle for the majority of our fan base. For us, or for myself, you know, I don't want to sit here and pick and choose which one I'd prefer the most. But it is critical that our football program have a home in a conference. So whether it is the Mountain West Conference USA or the Western Athletic Conference, you know, we've added now four new schools from Texas coming in this year that have FCS football. And that couples with existing members, Dixie State and Tarleton State, that have FCS football. And then Southern Utah is coming in the year after next, which FCS football. And there's some institutions that are kicking the tires on adding football, like a Texas Rio Grande Valley, maybe a Utah Valley that has, you know, 35,000 students. So, and I know some of those schools have a desire to transition to FBS. So, you know, whether it's joining an existing conference with FBS football or, you know, the Western Athletic Conference kind of organically transitioning to an FBS conference, that just remains our goal. So, you know, we will certainly look at any opportunities that present themselves. But, yeah, I would be lying if I didn't say that our fan base, if you polled them, would overwhelmingly love to be in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, I'm sure it would make the Rio Grande rivalry even more intense. We have an email from Patricia where she asks, if college athletes are able to make money on their name, image, and skills, should they still get scholarships? If they're making money, they should be able to pay their own way, give that money to someone who needs it, or do something else with it. I'd like to get both of your reactions to that comment and question. Eddie.
So I think that's first of all, I think, as we talked about earlier, the landscape's going to change. I think the NIL is also going to make some changes within college athletics and how we view where it goes in the future. But specifically towards that question, I would say that it's like anybody else. If any regular student's allowed to obtain a scholarship, if it's an academic scholarship, a talent-based scholarship, music, anything else, and they work on the side or they're able to make money off their talent, music, cooking, whatever it is, why shouldn't they have the benefit of all opportunities? So as I sit here today, I think it would be wrong for just to say that just because they can make now money that they should not have the ability to have a scholarship. Now, there might be opportunities in the future, depending on where things go, that maybe may lead to some kind of non-amateur kind of football approach or other sports, but we're talking really about a very small percentage of student athletes. And to say that we're going to do this across the board just for one or two because they generate some revenue, I don't think right now we're in the place to say that that's the right approach, but it's something that as a whole we have to be cognizant and they have to also be responsible for their own business ventures and taxes and everything else that come along with what they generate.
And thank you for that. Mario, what's your reaction to that question?
Yeah, I agree with Eddie. I mean, I certainly don't think that you would penalize a student athlete who happens to be making, a pretty penny, I guess, to say, on NIL. So I agree with him 100%. I think the, as this is still in its infancy, I certainly hope, and I've been a proponent, that student athletes make money. There's a lot of other issues surrounding this topic, like, guardrails. I mean, you see some of these seven-figure deals, even though they're rare, but how is that going to impact, recruiting and is it going to make, mid-major schools that much more tougher to recruit student athletes? But at the end of the day, I'm for the student athletes making money, whether they're on scholarship or not. But as this airplane is just taxiing down the runway on NIL, I think it's a long ways from student athletes, at least at New Mexico State, making significant dollars. We'll see what the future holds.
All right. We have a question from a listener. We've got Martinez from Albuquerque on the line. Martinez, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico.
Hi, good morning. I have a quick question. And the question is what are the implications of this policy for international athletes, especially those who are on the UNM cross-country team who are largely coming from the UK? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Real quick for you, are you asking what are the implications of the name, image, and likeness policy on students who are not American citizens?
Well, I would just like to know, are they also going to benefit from this type of policy in terms of commodification of their status? And if so, what does that stand for? If, for example, we have runners that come from the UK and they decide to do some kind of a campaign in London, for example, featuring the runners who run for UNM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I have got two athletic directors on the line. Do either of you understand or know the specifics to that particular situation?
Well, I think it's the one area where she touched on, which is the international. There's still a lot of questions that linger over the international student athletes, and that is a concern of ours. We are working with our international office on campus to make sure that we do all our due diligence, put everything in place, but give them the same opportunities. Very, very much like Mario mentioned earlier, we want every student athlete to have the opportunity to benefit here, regardless if they're from the United States or they're international. We have a good contingency, so does Mario, of international students that represent our institution unbelievably. I mean, we've had a couple that have garnered some opportunities in the Olympics, and which is we're very proud of. So to give them that chance to generate revenue either here or anywhere else, as long as they take care of they pay their taxes, do everything that needs to be done, wherever they're from, how it's done, then we need to. But the Pell Grant, the portion of everything associated with an international or even our regular student athletes, right now, that's part of the dilemma that we're facing as ADs, is trying to have a clear pathway to allow everybody to follow kind of the same parameters. There's still a lot of different states doing different things, and so it's putting us in a really difficult situation. But I'll throw it to Mario, see if he has anything.
Mario.
Yeah, I would just echo what Eddie said. I just have read actually an article that came out that, international student athletes need to be very careful of accepting NIL deals because the way their scholarship is with coming into the United States, it could jeopardize that. So I am certainly for our international student athletes having the same opportunities. What's interesting in New Mexico State, 80% of our student athletes come from five areas: Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona, and our international group. We've got from Arizona, California, and internationals about 50 to 55 student athletes each year. So we will certainly work with our partners on campus who really, they know the latest rules regarding compensation and how that affects an international's student athlete scholarship, because the last thing in the world That's another piece to NIL. We certainly want to be doling out the proper advice so you don't put the international student athlete in a bind. Just like Eddie, we've got great people on campus, and we will certainly, you know, maximize their opportunities, but do it in a way that won't jeopardize their eligibility.
Now, NMSU has embarked in really unconventional revenue streams, like having your own brand of tequila, to a pretty good amount of success. Yet NMSU is an established school with a legal team to represent them. And this question is for you, Mario, but also you, Eddie. If a player decides to take on a scholarship for, say, like alcohol or recreational marijuana, how would that affect the school's commitment to a safe, responsible atmosphere for its students? Is that a policy that you, as individual institutions, UNM and NMSU, would basically say that players could not take part in?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the NCAA, obviously, when NIL was allowed, they are not necessarily put in, hey, you can't, you know, participate in these categories. But the state law that was passed does have some guardrails on, you know, quote unquote, sin categories. You know, personally, we have decided to dabble in the licensing of products, you know, beer, wine, and whiskey. So if a student athlete is over 21, that certainly wouldn't, you know, I would not be against it. But at the same time, there are some caveats in our personal New Mexico state law that I believe would prohibit that.
Okay. Okay, and we've got about a minute left. Before I ask you all the ultimate question, I just want to ask, how are things going as far as vaccination efforts with coaching staffs and players? Eddie, are the New Mexico football Lobos, are you all efficiently vaccinated so we can get a season going without any interruptions?
We are first of all, whole staff, all our coaches have been fully vaccinated. The majority of our staff, maybe one or two that are in the process of finalizing their vaccination, but anybody who has any interaction with our student athletes will have to be fully vaccinated. That's a decision we have made. And then as far as our student athletes, we're doing quite well when it comes to most of our teams. I mean, just as an example, our women's basketball team is 100%. Football is close to, if not over, they're probably closer to the 75% right now. But we're working with probably a handful or more student athletes that are in the process of getting their vaccination. So, you know, at this point, with the mandate from the university to be fully vaccinated, that's going to probably encourage some others to fall in this. But we are going to work with them. This is not something we said they have to do if they choose not to. If for whatever reason, medical or religious based or anything, then we will work with them and they'll have to follow the same protocol and guidelines they did last year.
All right. I want to thank you both for being on the line with me. I've got Mario Mocha, the athletic director at New Mexico State University, and Eddie Nunez, the athletic director at the University of New Mexico. Before I let you both go, who is going to win the Rio Grande rivalry, the annual football game between UNM and NMSU next month?
I don't know that he's going to make a prediction.
Our guys are going to. I'm going to support our team. And we're going to go out there and do what we do best. But I'll leave it at that.
Let's hope for a well played game. Thank you both very much for joining us. Anybody listening, you can check out all the resources here at KUNM.org. I want to thank everybody. That's all we have time for today. Thanks everyone who called to share your thoughts, and thanks so much to our guests, Michael Whitman, Daniel Libet, Kenny Thomas, Mario Mocha, and Eddie Nunez. If you missed part of the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to our podcast. Find it anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Join us next week for Let's Talk New Mexico, where we talk about the proposal for a $50 million stadium for the New Mexico United soccer team. Where will it be built? How will it affect our neighborhoods? And who exactly is footing the bill? That's next week on Let's Talk. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Robert Maldonado live tweeted. Megan Kamrick screened your calls. And Ty Bannerman is our executive producer. I'm Khalil A. Colonna. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.